Take your Bibles and turn, if you would, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I know that this is going to be a very unusual message. It's purely topical. That does not mean that it's not biblical, but typically I preach expositionally, and this morning is different in that. But it's even more so than topical. It's also very practical and personal for the church. I want the church to understand, and most of us in here know, but I want to remind every one of us that our missions is funded separately than anything that we do as a general fund. And our missions is funded by what we call faith promise giving. And that is that every year in the month of October, it is a missions emphasis month. We have a different missionary that comes in each week. And then at the end, we have the international banquet, and that's where we take up, and you'll see those forms, the faith promise commitment cards on the landing of the two stairwells as you exit the auditorium. And then we turn in our faith promise commitment cards. And that is what God has laid on our heart for the next year in the area of missions giving. And this is something that is above and beyond anything that we give as far as a tithe. Last year, we were able to do $164,000 that's completely separate from our general fund. And I will tell you, though $164,000 sounds like a good amount of money, it is a drop in the bucket for what I believe this church could actually do as the years go on. We've not been doing Faith Promise that long, and it's grown each and every year. But I do believe that we can do much more, because I will say this, there is much more to be done. And we're here at the halfway point of the year now. We've come through the first 6 months. It's hard to believe that we've already come halfway through the year. But we are, and now we're into the second half. And so many times, it's a time of recommitment for us. Are we going to finish the year? And the giving and faith promise has been good, and we praise the Lord for that. But I'm going to challenge the church, if I can help you envision a little more of what our missions giving goes to. And as a result of that, we will allow ourselves to, if every one of us in here just did a little more, what could take place, what could happen in the area of our missions outreach. I want you to see several principles, and then I want to explain to you what we're trying to accomplish now over the next couple of years in the area of Faith Promise missions, and then we'll be finished. First, there is the principle of the fact that it's scriptural. That giving to Faith Promise missions, and in Faith Promise missions, it is a scriptural way of giving. In the Old Testament, we find the people gave over and above even their tithes. As God blessed them, they gave to God, and they gave to His work. In the New Testament, you find the Apostle Paul, he received gifts from various churches, and these gifts were special offerings. They were collected, they were given to the work of God. So in the Scripture, you find the word gift, you find the word bounty, you find the word abundance, you find the word willingly. All are words that he used to characterize this area of giving above and beyond our regular tithes. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he says these words, beginning with verse 6, he gives the great principle of our giving. He said, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." So let me first say this to you. He's very clear that what you put in is what you get out. He said that if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. But if you sow bountifully in this area of giving, you're also going to reap bountifully. I'm not speaking in terms of an televangelist. It's not going to build my empire. I'm speaking of missions giving today. Everything that comes in Faith Promise missions goes directly out toward outreach missions, toward reaching people directly with the gospel of Jesus Christ through the missions ministry of Somerville Baptist Church. I want to encourage you to understand that there is a reward in the area of giving. If we're going to sow, now I'm not exactly certain, and the Scripture does not always define completely. I believe that there's a lot of televangelists who have hindered in the area of giving. In their idea, they say that if you sow bountifully, then in turn God's going to give you, if you sow a seed of a dollar, He's going to give you $10. If you sow a seed of 10, it'll be 100, and so on. I do not believe that to be true. I think that God can bless a person in a financial way, but I think that there's even greater blessings that come back to a person who gives that are not financial. And I believe that is God, how God often chooses. Though it could be financial, and it can be, I believe that God blesses in even greater ways. I believe that he blesses in a spirit of peace. I believe that he blesses with a spirit in a person's life of gratitude and of thanksgiving. I believe that he blesses in the overwhelming sense of his presence in a believer's life. I believe those are many of the ways that he blesses. When we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, I do believe that there will be direct reciprocal blessings for what we have done for Christ in the area of our giving. So he that sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. But then let me be very clear in how I'm coming at you today according to verse 7. In the way that you give, every man should give as he purposeth in his own heart. I can't tell you what you should be given to Faith Promise Missions. I can't demand that of you. I can't say somebody has started a rumor years ago that Shane Lewis knows what people give and he checks their tax returns. I remember that being said about another pastor. The guy was using it a great way, and that wasn't true either. I don't know what anybody gives. I have no idea what anybody... I'll be honest with you. I'm not even completely sure always what we give. It's not my job to know what you give. God keeps much better books than I do. So I'm not really concerned about keeping up with what people give. What I am concerned about is your heart in your giving. Because your heart should be evident in the way that you give. I would say especially in the area of missions. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly. In other words, it's not something that, oh, here we go again. We've got to do it. No, man, God's not begging for your money. Oh, well, good. Well, if that's the case, then let's not do it. Well, then you're playing the fool at that point because you've forgotten the first principle. He that sows bountifully also reaps bountifully. We give cheerfully. He says, so don't give grudgingly. Then he goes further with this, or of necessity. You're not doing it because I'm talking you into it. You're not doing it because I'm forcing you into it. You're doing it because it's a willingness of your heart. We want to see people around the world reach with the gospel of Christ, so therefore we're giving in the area of missions. And at the end of it, he says, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God, if you want to be a blessing to the heart of God, then be a hilarious giver. That's literally what the word cheerful means. In other words, you can't wait to give. In other words, somebody blesses you with something and your attitude is this: oh, this isn't going to get me a new Harley Ultra Glide motorcycle that I really want. It's going to be able to go towards sending more missionaries or sending more Filipino pastors out to the field or seeing the Hope House come to full fruition or seeing Zambia pastors be able to plant more churches. That's what it's going to be able to go to. God loveth a cheerful giver. We give to Faith Promise giving because it's scriptural. Secondly, it is also a source of God's provision and blessing. Faith Promise giving is willing giving. It's never required. The giver has to be sensitive to God. God, what is it that you want me to be doing in this area? He has to be open to what his will is for us. One of the greatest blessings is for a Christian to allow God to meet needs in others' lives by way of us giving above and beyond in an area of faith, in a way of faith. It provides the opportunity for us to become personally involved in spreading the gospel to those who are without Jesus Christ. And I would say this, we're not only obeying God's command, we're also not only being a blessing to others around the world, but we're also being a blessing to ourselves, our family, our church, to others. It's a source of God's provision and blessing. It's scriptural. Thirdly, let me say this to you. It is not a pledge. This is not a telethon. We're not going to have Shane's kids up here trying to pull money out of you. A pledge is something between you and an organization, say a church or an individual. This is not a pledge. It's the obligation on the giver. It's not an illegal obligation. Faith promise is simply a promise to God. You're telling God that you're never going to be, you know you're never going to be fit billed for faith promise mission, because we don't know. When you turn in your pledge card, your name is not signed to that. We just budget off of that what we bring into missions, and we try to aim a little higher. If you're unable to pay, then you prayerfully tell God and you wait for his provision. Lord, this is what you laid on my heart. This is the amount you laid on my heart. And so, Father, now I'm waiting for you to provide in this way. So it's not a pledge. It's a source of God's provision and blessing. It is scriptural. But it's also in trusting God for what I do not now have. Faith promise is the promise that we give in faith that God is going to supply from funds that we do not already possess. It's an interesting concept, is it not? See, we're always bottom line people. But what if God calls us to give above and beyond what is found on the bottom line? I've often found that a person who's not willing to go beyond the bottom line in the area of giving, that they're going to trust God to provide, they're also the person that if God ever calls them to the mission field, I'm not willing to do that either. For where a man's treasure is, there will his heart be also. And if a man is not willing to give his money, then he's certainly not willing to give his life. This morning when I was prepared for this message, every Sunday morning I'm an anxious mess. And this morning I was sitting in my office and I have these pretty cool things. I have these light bulbs that I found in the Sky Mall. And the light bulbs are Bluetooth speakers. Anybody ever seen that? Pretty cool. You got to come sit in my office and listen to them for a while. So the light bulbs are what plays the music. And I was playing instrumental music, instrumental praise. And I was sitting there underneath the light bulbs listening to the music. As I was sitting in my office, here was my prayer. My prayer was, God, we just don't want the Collins family. Lord, we just don't want Joe and Susie Morrell. Lord, we just don't want the Hope House. Lord, we just don't want the Filipino Project. I started praying and thinking in my mind, and I will not tell you who they are. I'm not necessarily looking at the couples that I was thinking of and the individuals, but I started praying for just individuals and couples that God brought to my mind of, Lord, wouldn't it be something if you called this couple to the mission field? Wouldn't it be something if you called these people to go and help the Collins in Zambia? Lord, please. Lord, please call more people out of our church. I've told you this for years. My plan was that when we walk down this hallway, that half of this hallway would be covered with people that were directly out of Somerville Baptist Church. That's still my dream. I thought for a while that that dream would never come to fruition because of my own health. The Lord so far has seemed to sustain that now, and I praise him for it. But that still, I'm coming on 50 years of age now. That seems so young now. But I don't have a lot of time left. 15, 20 years max. Please do not groan at that statement. We still have the time to get it done, but not much. Not much. And I still believe that God's calling. And he's given platforms for that to be able to happen now through the different projects and the missionaries out of Somerville Baptist Church. My prayer is with our young men, and my prayer is with our young women. My prayer is our young couples. My prayer is our older couples that finally now are free from the burdens of even having to raise support. That they can go and serve and help plant churches, aid the missionaries that are doing so. So it's not just their money that they're giving. It's their life that they're giving as well. It is trusting God for what I do not now have. So Lord, today when I come to you and I take that little slip of paper and I write down for the last half of the month, this is what I'm committed to giving to Faith Promise Missions. Lord, I'm not sure how you're going to do it, but I'm trusting you're going to do it. It's those same people that you'll find that will give above and beyond that it's those same people that God is going to end up touching their heart in a greater way. Because who he can trust with a little, he'll trust with a much. The principles of faith promise giving is that it is scriptural, that it's a source of God's provision and blessing, that it is not a pledge. It is trusting God for what I do not now have. It is also a commitment. Number five, faith promise is making a promise to God. It involves responsibility that as God gives this money to us, that we'll follow through on our promise to him. Lord, this is the amount that you laid on my heart. And at the end, the invitation is, I'm going to be asking you to pray. What is it that God wants us to give? And so it's a commitment to him to say, Lord, right now I can't see it. But obviously it's an amount you're placing in my heart, so I'm allowing you to see it. And then, Lord, from this point, I'm going to allow you to build my faith by being able to give this amount. I'm not going to get into the old preaching about, you know, your cable television and your cell phone plans and all those things, all the things we can give up. I'm not asking you to do that right now. All I'm asking you to do is to simply pray and say, Lord, what is it that you would have me to give? It's amazing how we can figure that out. But people tend to be able to do what they want to do. I'm not asking you to figure it out. I'm asking you to pray by faith, Lord, what is it that you want me to do to reach more people on the mission field for Jesus Christ through missions giving? I want you to keep it very simple. Which brings me to my last point, number six, and we'll be finished. It should be entered into very prayerfully. It should be entered into very prayerfully. This morning, we're going to take a time, and that's the reason that my message is so short. We're taking time that I want the invitation time to be a time of prayer. And I want the people of Somerville Baptist to gather together as couples, as families, and I want you to pray, Lord, in this last half of the year of 2019, what is it that you desire for me, for us, to do in the area of faith promise giving? Souls, and what we're doing right now, souls are on the line. You say, Pastor, here we go. We're talking about money. So what's this going to do for you? It's going to bless me. It's going to get me a new Dodge truck, don't you know? No. This money is purely a funnel. This is money that we're asking for missions giving that goes in and goes straight out. I'm asking you to consider how God would use that. Oswald J. Smith once wrote these words, "If I had waited until I had it, I never would have given it, because I never would have had it. I gave a faith offering, and God honored it." Let me read that again. If I had waited until I had it, I never would have given it, because I never would have had it. I gave a faith offering, and God honored it. Now, as I come to the end, let me say this. There's some of us in here that are saying, my word, why in the world is this church so adamant about giving to people they're never going to see in places they're never going to go? I want to take your Bibles back to our passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and I would like you to look at verse 15, the last verse that we looked at this morning. This is why. Thanks be unto God for his, what's the next word? Unspeakable gift. In other words, there are no words to speak of the wonderful gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. No words to know that a man that once was condemned to hell is now destined for heaven. No words to understand that the sins that we never could pay for except by our own death have been paid for by the death and blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. No words to explain that why a God who spoke of the worlds into existence in turn would love someone like me, like you, enough to send his only son to die for your and my sins. How do you describe that? How do you write that down? No words to explain that when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, His Holy Spirit indwells you, you're baptized, He never leaves you and He never forsakes you. How do you describe all of this? How do you describe the fact that the moment, that your next breath after death is not this same old dirty, smoggy atmosphere of earth. It is the pure, precious, celestial air of heaven. How do you describe that? The Bible says you can't. It's far beyond even our imagination. And we want the entire world to know that, to see it, to experience it, to have it. Right now, we have what's going on over in the Philippines, our Filipino National Pastor Project. They need the property and they need a building ASAP. They have the young preacher boys now sleeping in a shack. I am not overstating this. I would be understating it. They're literally sleeping in a makeshift shack that they've had to build. They build these wooden beds of plywood, and it's outside. If you know anything about the Philippines, it's tropical, so there's everything else crawling in that bed with them. They have fans. They have no air conditioning. They have no plumbing, so they have to go over to the apartment where the directors, Gerald and Candy, live, and that's where they use the restroom. And then the girls, they have an apartment there, but the roof now is caving in on the two apartments. They have the property. They don't have a building. They don't own the property. They owe $7,000 yet. And the property beside them that they need, that's another $16,000. In turn, they could build a building on that that would have the dormitories as well as the church building. And they would be able to build that for around $30,000 to $35,000, like we did with Angel and Rhoda. But they've got to have somebody that cares enough to be able to do it. Why can't they just do it themselves? Because those guys work for $10 a day. That's why. And that's kind of the finishing touch for us to be able to recruit, to bring in these young preacher boys in order to train them. In turn, then, we're able to take that money, and these young preacher boys come out of the Bible Institute after 4 years, and then they go out and they start their own churches if they're ready. If they're not, then they go on staff of the churches that have already been started as an assistant for 3 years, and then they go out from there. And they're going out for 500, if they're single, 350 a month, the family 500 a month. And then they do that for only 5 years, and then it's a self-sustaining autonomous church. There's a whole northern Luzon area of the Philippines that does not have many churches. That's where we're concentrating. Manila has tons of churches, but the northern area. But we need to be involved. We need to be able to have the opportunity to send that to them for them to get it done. Brian Collins knows what's going on in the Philippines, and he came and he's really been pressing me, and I appreciate that. He should. And he's saying, Pastor, if we could do in Zambia what we're doing in the Philippines, it would be unbelievable how we could reach more and more people of training these guys and then send them out and use an exact same plan. We wouldn't even have to have the buildings. We already have the buildings for it. We could just start in sending these guys out after they've been trained 3 or 4 years, and we could have dozens of churches in the next few years spread out across this area of Zambia if we simply had the resources. We have the Hope House now that's coming up. I don't want the Hope House to just be something that's for 6 or 7 men. Don't you understand there's a lot more than 6 or 7 men that are coming out? We need to have the opportunity to buy property to where we can build a building that will house 30 to 35 men. We need to have the opportunity to buy property to build a facility that will hold 30 to 35 women and the children they bring with them, which is a massive project. That Somerville Baptist Church becomes known as the church not just that talks about reaching those that are the least of these, but it's doing something about it in a grand way. Look, years ago, I tell everybody that I come across, Pastor, why are you leaning over? I don't know. I don't know why I'm leaning over. Because I don't know. I'm serious about this. Years ago, I talked to this church. We were in a wonderful auditorium just on the south side of this room. Beautiful auditorium. I said, if we could only catch the vision that when people drive by this place, that the only two words that come to their mind are the words, only God. Almost every person that I run into in Morgan County, when you talk about Somerville Baptist Church, they will say, man, I hear that God's really doing great things. That's a great blessing. But to me, it's also somewhat of a challenge because I know and I see that God can do so much more. There are so many people that still need Jesus Christ. And God has given us a people as a whole that have a vision for that. And now if we just bring ourselves together toward focusing, toward magnifying that vision and aiming it and gearing it in the way of faith promise giving, it's unbelievable what God will do. And then we'll be able to enjoy even more the fruits of our labor. You guys are sitting up there. I want you to know those guys from Morgan County Ministry. We love you guys. And here's our plan. My goal and plan has always been this. I don't want you just coming to church. I don't want you just having the opportunity to be for families and being able to eat a meal after the service. That's not why you're here. You're here because we want you to accept Christ as your Savior. We want you to grow in Jesus Christ. And then we want you to become the leaders of Somerville Baptist Church. The day's coming when you're going to get out of there. Won't that be a glad day? And when you get out of there, you have a place to come to that you knew loved you when perhaps nobody else would, but we loved you. And we're investing and we're wanting to invest more. And I want you to know that we're not going to give up on this. Not here in our own backyard and not in Zambia and not in Philippines and not around the rest of the world that you see in the hallway. But we can only do that as we give. So I'm asking you this morning to do so. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let's stand together.